This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City, a 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime. Kansas City wins the game.
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
And welcome to The Drive. No CDOT today, obviously, Rob. That was that a game time decision? Game time decision, no CDOT. Jay Binkley here with you. So obviously it's going to be some NFL talk and some mock talk, but obviously not the entire time. I wouldn't be allowed to do mock draft talk the whole time, although Thursday night we'll be live 6 to 9 in our NFL draft special. And don't forget about a draft special coming up the 24th at the Landing. We just dropped Mock 2.0 today on the Character Concerns podcast. So we did that as well. But no Carrington today. He'll be back tomorrow, weather or, well, flu permitting. Carrington didn't have much of a voice today, and that's kind of what you need in radio, is to have a decent voice to be able to talk about. But no, if you've been watching Vern or listening to Vern, not watching Vern, but listening to Vern in the Kansas City Royals, I was glued to him last night. I love the way they're playing. I love what this pitching staff is doing. Matter of fact, I was locked in a lot more to the Royals, I think, last night than the national title game, which we'll get to. But I was watching Kansas City Royals baseball. We'll be off today at 5:30 for Kansas City Royals baseball coverage as well. But, man, I'm sitting there. And, Rob, the only thing I'm thinking about, this is now a two-horse race. I don't know how you guys feel. I don't know how Drew Nixon feels, Mr. Blue Chew himself, and Alex and Cody talking about, is this a two-horse race or not? I know they had J.J. Piccolo on for one of his visits, the Royals GM. Always fun to listen to that going forward. But these Twins, it was kind of like, where the Royals going to make up the difference? Where the Royals going to make up? They won 12 games last year against the White Sox. Of course, these teams used to play other teams in a division 18 times a year. It's now 13 times with the schedule the way it is. I love Major League Baseball schedule now. I love the fact that you got to play each and every team, so you get to see the stars on each and every team with Major League Baseball. But they were 12-1 against the White Sox, and I've called the White Sox America's booty call, because essentially that's what they were last year. It was, you play the White Sox, you're getting a win. Remember the Royals last year? They started off like 1-3. Then they had that seven-game winning streak that they had, and it pretty much started with the Chicago White Sox. Well, the Minnesota Twins coming in this year, you think, okay, when you expect Minnesota Twins to be good, they end up being bad. And when you expect them to be bad, they end up being good. But that baseball team, the Minnesota Twins, they're not very good. They're just not. The Royals are just a better team than the Minnesota Twins. So you think, where are they going to make up those games? Well, here's a good chance. Here's a good chance with the Minnesota Twins that are, of course, in Kansas City now, because this is a team they could beat. I think this is a two-horse race. I think it's between Detroit, because I think Detroit is on their way up. I like Scooble as starting pitcher. He's an ace, but I like what Detroit's doing. I think Detroit is well on their way in the American League Central. It's a lot better division than I think people think. Cleveland, I understand Cleveland came in here and won a series against the Royals, but that Cleveland team is very shallow. It is. Jose Ramirez, yeah, it's a stud, but really there's not a lot behind him or in front of him. It's pretty much a one-person show, and that's Ramirez. Do you pitch to him or not? That's the question. But Detroit, that'll be the race. The Kansas City Royals and Detroit Tigers, I'm pretty much content that that's who it's going to be in the American League Central. Not the Minnesota Twins. It's a team that I think you can get some wins, make up those 12, because you got to find a way to win those 12 games, because those were important, because this team made the playoffs by one game over Seattle. The Mariners ended up being that close down the stretch for being in the playoffs or not, but obviously the Chicago White Sox made that difference for the Kansas City Royals because they were such a beatable team. But when you look at this team now and the Minnesota Twins, this is not the same Twins we're used to. They're not. I think Rocco Baldelli will probably be the first major league manager fired this season. A matter of fact, the Minnesota Twins have what the worst record in baseball the second half moving forward, including this year. Only the Chicago White Sox were worse than the Minnesota Twins going forward. So this is clearly Kansas City division. I don't know what you guys think. I don't know what you think when you watch the Minnesota Twins, but clearly you don't see them being a threat to the Kansas City Royals. I mean, 12 wins against the White Sox. I don't think they're White Sox bad. I don't think anybody can be that bad. It was the worst record, whatever, in the modern era the White Sox had last year. But these Twins aren't very good. I don't know what you think when you watch the Twins, Rob, but clearly when I watch them, I'm like, okay, we could put them to bed. I know you guys have the funeral on a drive once in a while, but do you actually expect the Minnesota Twins to be worth a damn this year?
No.
I do not.
I don't. I was listening to Vern yesterday, leaving the show, headed to back home, and he brought up a good point. Man, for as much, you know, slack as the Royals get, or, you know, grief the Royals get about, you know, their offseason and did they spend enough, this, that, and the other, man, the Twins did barely anything to improve their roster. Like, if you look at their lineup from last night, it's basically last year's lineup, which gagged hard down the stretch with a few new faces, but the new faces aren't, like, exciting. Like, it's Ty France. Okay, great. Who cares? That's not changing the dynamics of that team. That was a team that in the stretch run last year really stepped on their own foot and couldn't get out of their own way. I don't think they got any better in the offseason. And yeah, I don't think the Royals are going to go 12-1 against the Twins like they did last year against the White Sox. But on this show, we talk a lot about you got to find a way to make up those wins because the White Sox are going to be a little saltier. Not salty, but just a little saltier. It feels like the Twins are the team to make up those wins against because now, tonight they have a great pitcher going in Lopez, but outside of that, it doesn't seem like an organization.
Their ace.
Yeah, and he's really good. He's like one of the better pitchers in baseball. But outside of that, you look at their roster and you think, yeah, I mean, it's not White Sox bad, but it's not good. And this should be a spot where the Royals start to clean up and pick up some of those what could have been lost White Sox wins along the way. It feels like it's a 2-3 team horse race. I don't know. I totally agree with you. I think the Guardians are still too good, too much pedigree, too much talent to kill them off in April. But the Twins, watched them last night. That I've seen that Twins team before. It's called the 08 Royals. I've seen that Twins team before. It's called the 2012 Royals. They're a, you know, cutesy 75 and 87 type of team. They are not a team to be taken seriously. And I think that's a team where the Royals can gobble up some wins and kind of make up for the fact that we don't think they're going to do that again against the White Sox in 2025.
Does Cleveland, though, scare you at all? I know Ramirez does, and he should, but that team's pretty thin. That team's pretty thin. I think Minnesota has just a little bit better as far as bullpen, ERA. Starters aren't as good as Kansas City. They're not. I think there's one team in baseball that's top four in hitting and pitching. That's the Padres. Luckily, that's that team over in the National League. It's them. Believe it or not, the White Sox have been pitching better than I think we expected them to pitch this year. Now it's kind of come back to the means. But for the first five games, they were like one of the better ERAs in the American League that good. But where are you going to make this up? I think it's the Minnesota Twins. There's nothing about that team. Rocco Baldelli gets thrown out of the game last night. Rob, was that not one of the bigger jokes you've seen? That was clearly a desperation move. Hey, throw me out of this game to fire up the team. It is way too early for that kind of nonsense. But is that what you felt like Baldelli was doing last night?
I mean, it felt like they were begging for a spark and he was trying to give it to him. But like,
but way too early in the season to beg for a spark.
I don't think that team is a spark away. I don't think there's some, you know, hey, there's plenty of kindling with a spark to get them going. They're going to roar to life. I just don't see that when it comes to the Minnesota Twins. Me and you just see the Guardians differently. I think the Guardians have too good of a pitching staff and too good of a lineup for us to, on April 8th, discount them. I'm cool discounting the Twins today. They might split the series with the Royals, but they are not a real threat in the AL Central. I don't know why you're as out on Cleveland as you are. Jose Ramirez, one of the best players in baseball. They got a couple other bats in that lineup that are problematic, including Noel.
But they
Noel.
Can't pitch, Rob. I mean, it's
Tanner
the second.
Tanner Bibee, Shane Bieber. Like, I know Shane Bieber's not back yet, but they got some names in that lineup.
No, they do, and that bullpen has its names, but they're not the same.
That might be the best bullpen in baseball.
Well, Emmanuel Clase gave up 8 runs in the postseason. He became different. That was the third-ranked guy. He finished third in Cy Young last year. Do you realize their ERA between their starters and their bullpen is second worst in the American League? Only the Oakland A's have a worse ERA than Cleveland. I know the reputation of the Cleveland pitching staff. You think, oh, they should be good. Well, the reality is, says they're not. The best ERA combined between the starters and relievers, it's Tampa. Tampa Bay, 2.97. Number two, Kansas City Royals, 3.25 when it's the bullpen and the starters mixed. But 14th is the Cleveland Guardians. They sit that far back. Detroit, by the way, is fourth because Detroit can pitch. The White Sox, believe it or not, are seventh in the American League in team ERA, which isn't half bad. The Twins, not good. They sit right there in front of Cleveland as far as team ERA. It's almost near five. It's 4.92 for the combined ERA between the starters and the bullpen for the Twins. Yes, Cleveland's one of those teams. You think, okay, this bullpen should be good. It's just not, Rob. It's not. Emmanuel Clase is just different. I know that he didn't mean. Who did he hit?
India. He hit Jonathan India.
He hit him in the face. Hit Jonathan, and then he plays the next day. Jonathan India is fun to watch, by the way. That guy's a gamer. He's scrappy. I love the way Jonathan India plays. I'm so glad the Royals brought him in to the fold because Jonathan India is one of those guys I think you can really get behind. I just absolutely love watching him play. But as far as starting ERAs, if you just go the starters, the Royals are third, the White Sox fifth in the American League, and Cleveland all the way down to 14th. Now, I know their bullpen's good, but they got to get a lead. Like, they got to be able to get a lead for that bullpen to be effective. And I don't think Clase is as good as he was last year. I think that was some residual stuff when he comes out and hits Indy in the face. But as far as the bullpen is concerned, Minnesota actually is the best bullpen in the American League. Believe it or not, they do. Number three is Cleveland. Kansas City sits eighth in the American League as far as their bullpen is concerned. But there's nothing about that team that really scares you. Cleveland sits at 3-6. Two of those wins are against the Royals. But that lineup, does that really scare you that much, Rob? I mean, I know Ramirez does, but does anybody else really scare you from that team?
I mean, I think there's a couple guys. Stephen Kwan is always a problem for the Royals. They seem to not be able to ever get him out. He's constantly on base. He's a fixture on the base paths when the Royals play him. I think Noel, we saw him in the postseason last year, that big home run against the Yankees. He's a big Christmas. I think he's a problem. Like, they have enough pieces that I think, okay, there's a team that can compete in the AL Central. Maybe in June I'll look dumb, but I'm not ready to discount them as quickly as you are.
Well, they're 10th in batting average in the American League. Royals 8th, so they're worse in those respects. I'm just not a huge Cleveland guy at this point. Yeah, they're solid, but I can't see them making a run because I don't think it's as nasty as what they were. I don't think that bullpen, yes, on paper, it's good. On paper, it's great. But again, I wouldn't be throwing the Ramirez. Like, at all. Like, do you know how wooted that team is without Ramirez? Like, he is everything to that team. I guess you could say Bobby Witt Jr. is that way with the Royals, but, you know, Vinny can pull up some slack there with the Royals. Perez can. I mean, there's plenty of guys on this team, Jonathan India, that can do damage. But Cleveland's one of those teams I would worry about if you were the Kansas City Royals. Coming up next, the mock. Put the mock 2.0. Went a little bit different. And I think it could be a real dilemma for the Kansas City Chiefs. You going line or you going receiver? We'll discuss that next.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
No CDOT today. He'll be back tomorrow. Jay Binkley here. Rob Brenton is here as well. Text line saying, yes, Cleveland beat the Royals 2 out of 3. 100% true. 100% true. It didn't mean I actually liked that team. Yes, Stephen Kwan, Jose Ramirez, they're two good hitters. Carlos Santana, I'm not putting in there. Kwan, by the way, really good hitter. Good outfielder, George. Three-time gold glove. He can play the outfield, no question about it. 26 career home runs since 2022. Sorry, just don't see it. It's not one of those teams I see and says, wow. One thing we all talk about throughout the deal is those Kansas City Chiefs. Now that we got the tournament in March Madness kind of out of the way, don't forget the draft party, 96.5 The Fan draft event. Thursday, April 24th, come to the Landing in Liberty, part two. Did it last year. It was a ton of fun. We'll do a live broadcast starting at 6 p.m. Myself, Chris Sinocero, will be broadcasting the whole thing. We had a ton of fun last year. It was a lot of fun when the Chiefs made the trade with the Bills. I couldn't believe it was Buffalo, but it was. People are having a good time. People are having a real good time by pick 31, trust me. But the whole entire 96.5, the fan staff will be in attendance. We're doing the draft contest again. $965 this time, not $610. Price goes up. You're on FM now. It goes up to 96.5 for that. Plus, you can win an autographed Juwan Taylor helmet as a prize. You get 1 point for every player drafted in the first round. 3 points if you get the right player on the right team. The sheet must be turned in prior to the number one pick on the clock. By the way, Steven Spector, it was a locked door. Let's grade them last year. Were you part of this, Rob? Were you part of the grading process? Because I know it took Steven forever.
I was not part of the grading process last year.
You were not part of the grading process. Well, we put 2.0. Did you read 2.0? It's on Twitter. So
I have read 2.0. I'm interested to talk 2.0 because we'll 31, you have something fascinating to me.
We did. And the big argument, do the Chiefs go offensive linemen? Maybe you saw Mel Kiper's mock draft. It's a mock draft much like many people have out. And I don't know who is kind of – and keep in mind, a lot of the mocks, you'll see people copy other mocks. You'll see people go a certain direction. Pete Prisco, not saying anybody copies anybody, but had the exact same thing as Mel Kiper for the Kansas City Chiefs at 31. It was Josh Simmons, the offensive tackle at Ohio State. Wake me up the next time or the last time that Brett Veach drafted an Ohio State player. It hasn't happened. Like, it hasn't happened at all. And do the Chiefs actually go offensive linemen? In theory, I understand why. Why you would earmark the Chiefs at 31 for an offensive tackle? Because you saw the Super Bowl. The world saw the Super Bowl. And the Chiefs' offensive line was terrible. Mahomes didn't have time to throw. He was on the run. The offensive line was worked. And the Eagles didn't even blitz. They got to him with their fronts. And they got to the quarterback, and it was with ease to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. But they did win 15 games in the regular season, won two more in the postseason. Super Bowl didn't turn out like they liked, so everybody's picking offensive line. Just remember, when the Chiefs did not have a left tackle a couple years ago, and it was during that COVID draft. Remember Sam Cosmi? Remember that name? Turned out to be a great guard in the NFL. Alex Leatherwood, Liam Eichenberg. Remember those names sitting there? Could the Chiefs go that direction at 31? Well, they didn't. They wanted Trent Williams, tried to sign him till 2 a.m. in the morning. He ended up signing back with Frisco. So that was off the table. Then where are they going? What are the Chiefs going to go do? Well, believe it or not, one of the rivals, the Baltimore Ravens, like the Buffalo Bills, a rival to the Chiefs, decides to help them out, which is insane, to be honest with you. Why Baltimore or Buffalo would ever help the Kansas City Chiefs doesn't make a damn bit of sense at all, but they did. And Orlando Brown. Say what you want about Orlando Brown. Love him, hate him. I know people have their opinions on him. Cincinnati's problem now. But the Chiefs needed a left tackle. And he got the chance to play left tackle in Baltimore, and Ronnie Stanley got hurt. So, and he fancies himself a left tackle. They did win a ring with it. But there wasn't many choices. And the Chiefs did not like the tackles in the draft. Because when you're sitting at 31, it's all like edge rusher. You better be damn good if you're selected a left tackle at 31. Because typically, left tackles are such a premium position in the National Football League. One of the most important positions. Quarterback, left tackle, edge rusher, wide receiver. Those are your premium positions. And left tackle is one of those. So, but at 31, you really get in a premium position. Because most times at 31, you're drafting a guy that's going to be a project. And they need that player now. They need that player to help Patrick Mahomes right off the bat. And most of them are going to get moved to either guard or their right tackle. As a matter of fact, I think the best offensive lineman in the draft is a, quote, right tackle and or guard, Mimbu from the University of Missouri. He's a top 10 pick, but it's not a left tackle. And Simmons seems to be that guy that people are going for, but they don't draft Ohio State guys. Matter of fact, Ohio State had their pro day. Not one Chiefs representative was there. I understand smoke screens and everything like that, but you do want to kind of evaluate because all the other teams are there. So just go evaluate said player. And then you have the myth of the top 30 visits that the team has. And I know people are enamored by the top 30 visits. Isaiah Bond was here. Harold Fannin Jr. was here for a top 30 visit. They don't draft a lot of those guys. Matter of fact, it's been few and far between. Last year, they brought in Kingsley Suamatia for a top 30 visit, ended up drafting him. They brought Carson Steele in, ended up signing him, undrafted free agent. Year before, Rasheed Rice came in for a top 30 visit, drafted him. B.J. Thompson came in for a top 30 visit, drafted him. But it's few and far between that they actually go out and draft from their top 30 visits. Now, this was 2.0 of the Chiefs we did last night. We've done a full NFL one, which we'll do continue to do a full NFL one. And we'll get to about 4-0 or 5-0 for the Chiefs by the time the draft comes about. But then big on Derek Harmon out of Oregon. I think Derek Harmon goes earlier. I think the Chiefs would have to trade maybe with the Rams at 26 to move up and get Derek Harmon. Perfect three technique guy, can get to the quarterback, do a lot of different things from the interior defensive line, which is what the Chiefs need. And, you know, they're lucky because in this draft, defensive line and edge are two of the best. But as I've always said, and Chris too, because Chris Nocero does this with me, that if Luther Burden happens to be there, you go wide receiver. He's the best slot receiver in this draft. He provides Patrick Mahomes with more ammunition, with more weapons. If he's sitting there, I know the big debate. You know, I was looking at Kuiper's mock and stuff like that. Walter Nolan wasn't going in the first round, and I've seen more and more of that. Walter Nolan's a first-round type of guy. I think he goes in the 20s. Derek Harmon shouldn't be there at 31. I'd be shocked if he was. But more and more mocks will have Luther Burden sliding in the second round. I've even seen Teterell McMillan sliding to the second round, which I think would be crazy because last year you had seven wide receivers drafted in the first round. The most since 2004, that was the record. So it was offensive line and wide receivers because offensive line tied the record with eight from 2008. 2004 was the wide receivers. But Luther Burden Jr., or Luther Burden III, is who we went with at 31 because I am sold. And yes, we have him going running back in round four with Tootin, Mr. 429 at the combine. Kyle Williams, another receiver. I love receivers and getting receivers in the draft. But Luther Burden, to me, is too talented. And, Rob, I've seen so many of these mocks going offensive line. That's a project, man. They need someone to play now. And I know Jalen Moore was a fifth-round pick, but he's had a couple years of seasoning in the NFL, and being behind Trent Williams doesn't suck. One of the best ever at left tackle. But that's who they're going with. That's who they're going with. But give Patrick Mahomes wide receivers. And I know on paper you'd say, well, Worthy's coming back, and Brown, and Rasheed Rice. It's a good quarterback room. That's true. That looks great on paper. It looked great on paper last year, didn't it? Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy, the hotshot rookie, running a 4-2-1. Hollywood Brown. But then all of a sudden, the first preseason game happens, and Hollywood Brown's hurt in the first play. Then all of a sudden, Rice gets hurt in L.A. against the Chargers, and he was off to a great start, and he's gone for the year. So essentially, you're without your number one and number two, and all of a sudden, you're asking your first-round pick to step up, and he wasn't ready to step up early in the season, got better as the season progressed, had trouble with his placement there on the sidelines. And I do think Xavier Worthy is better than just a 4-2-1 speed guy. This guy did lead the University of Texas in catches and yards for three straight years. Two of those 3 years, he led him in touchdowns. So it's more than a nine route, more than a vertical route guy. He's the whole route tree is what he does. Yes, on paper, it looks good. But that's not how the NFL works. Injuries happen. Suspensions happen. Don't forget, Rashee Rice could be missing some games. All right, so say Rice is out for at least 4 to 6 games. He's out. Then you have another receiver injury. Then all of a sudden, you're asking Xavier Worthy to step up, and you're hoping Hollywood Brown is healthy. Didn't think Hollywood Brown would be back this year. It was fortunate that he came back this year, but plan wasn't to have him back this year because he was going to make that cash by having a good season last year. But that didn't, of course, didn't work out for the Kansas City Chiefs. But my thing is just keep supplying him with weapons. That's why, Rob, Luther Burden was just too good to pass up at 31.
So I have no problem with them going receiver. And the Chiefs are in a good spot for the draft because they're in a situation where they can take literal best player available. Like, outside of running back in the first round, which I would literally hate. But other than that, they can take basically any position in the first round, and I'll be like, cool. My concern is, and this is going to sound like I'm hating, and that's fine. I like Luther Burden, the player, but I feel like the Chiefs have a bunch of Luther Burden-type receivers on their roster already. He's what, 5'11", 6', depending on what you read. He's about 200 pounds. Like, I don't need a third player that is eerily similar body build to Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy. Give me a little bit different. Like, when the Chiefs had the Legion of Zoom,
I don't think that's fair, though. He did measure at 6' at the combine, and he's
give me that Sammy Watkins type who's 6'2", 6'3".
But he's 206 pounds. That's significantly bigger than Xavier Worthy.
He is bigger. But his body type's very Rashee Rice. Rashee Rice-ish. That one gave me a lot of problems. And I just want a big boundary type. I remember when the Chiefs were dominant, they had, you always called him the get a first down guy. Like, if it was 3rd and 5, you throw it to Sammy Watkins. You weren't throwing bubble screens and quick. You were throwing to him to go get a first down. I want that type of receiver, more of a boundary type. And when the Chiefs offense has been good, they have had that type of receiver. It hadn't been the jump ball contested catch guy, but they've had the, hey, you can go over the middle and take a hit guy. Luther Burden, based on his body type, isn't really checking that box. So I like Luther Burden, the player. I don't know. I want to see another slot-type wide receiver from the Chiefs at 31 when I think they've checked that box a couple times over, and they brought Hollywood Brown back, who is also that same body type. Give me a little different in
the
room.
He is the same as Worthy. To me, Rob, that's what we backed off Worthy in the mock draft process last year when they signed Hollywood Brown. Like, you can understand why you do that, right? Because then the whole thought was you have Hollywood Brown for 1 year, Xavier Worthy's going to be here for the long haul. But I backed off of Worthy last year when Hollywood Brown was here because of that same thing you're saying.
I just feel like Burden is too similar. I want something different. I want a little change of pace. And you know what? If they took him at 31, I wouldn't be upset by it. I would just feel like we're kind of just duplicating the same player over and over and over again on the receiver room. Let's shake it up. Let's be a little different. Let's find a 6'2", 6'3", type of guy that can, you know, change things a little bit.
And I'm okay with that because that isn't a tool that's in the toolbox. Tedrall McMillan is obviously one of those guys. With his height, his physicality, what he can do. Tedrall McMillan out of Arizona, which it looks like, I mean, more and more mocks have him sliding. I'm shocked because, to me, he was identifiable, the number one receiver coming in the draft. And Matthew Golden started making that run, 4.29 speed. But again, Gunnar Helm, the tight end, actually led Texas in receptions this past year. And I do like Gunnar Helm at tight end. But regardless, so who is it? Egbuka from Ohio State, again, the faux pas with Veach taking Ohio State guys. That comes into play. But you're talking the best two slot players in Burden and Igbuka. I'll admit, not this year, but the year before, when Luther Burden got hurt, it was kind of like, oh, man, you better search Twitter. Is he coming back in? What's going on? Didn't see that as much. The production was down this year. But when he was on the field, that was the biggest star. That was the guy you had to get the football in his hands. And I know at times it was the expense of Theo Weiss, but that was the guy. That was the playmaker. Luther Burden was the guy earmarked before the season started. That's your number one receiver. Then it kind of slid and started to slide, but he had a hell of a combine, made the all-combine team. Deal. I love his separation. I like what he can do, and I like his movement. But to me, I would load Mahomes up with weapons because I don't know about you, but I was tired of seeing the close games. And I know the Chiefs were awesome in one-score games, but you can't always count on that. You can't always count on winning those close games. I know it's great. You block a kick, whatever, you win the game. Put some people away. Put some teams away. And I know the Chiefs would have scored over 30 at different times had they really wanted to, but there wasn't because they played the clock game. But I want to see the Chiefs put teams away, and I think they can do it. And there's nothing wrong with having good receivers. Nothing wrong. Peyton Manning wasn't complaining about having Reggie Wayne and Marvin Harrison on his team. He wasn't complaining about that at all. And then also with Dallas Clark to throw it to, mix in a Brandon Stokely at times, wasn't complaining about that. You know, Joe Montana wasn't complaining about, you know, John Taylor and Jerry Rice. Wasn't complaining about that. Or Marino, albeit no Super Bowls, did go Duper and Clayton. He had weapons. When are you ever going to have a quarterback this good again? So supply him with the weapons he needs. And I understand offensive line is a concern. It's a big concern because you have to have time to throw it. And right now on paper, I get it. The line looks very, very similar to last year. And it wasn't good towards the end of the year. Juwan Taylor, that's your right tackle back. Trey Smith, that's your right guard back. Creed Humphrey, that's your center back. Now, the left side of the line, I get it, man. Not having Tooney, that's a downgrade. He didn't exactly work out a tackle because his arms are too short, but he was playing out of position. But at left guard, you're not going to find a better one than that. You're just not. So, yes, it will be a downgrade at left guard. Then left tackle, you're hoping that Jalen Moore, you know, handles the deal. Can Kingsley be the left guard? Can he move from tackle to guard? And then you feel good about him making that move? Will the Chiefs still draft offensive line in the draft? I think they will. They did bring in, and again, take top 30 visits with a grain of salt, but they did bring in Dalton Cooper from Oklahoma State. Started, 36 games left tackle from Texas State before he transferred to Oklahoma State. Kind of got banged up, was in the East-West Shrine game. But he is a quality tackle with some issues. But again, a guy that you're going to need to marinate on the roster for a year or two before he's ready to go. A lot like Jalen Moore was kind of marinated for the team. But I would definitely give Patrick Mahomes the weapons he needs. This team has been so heavily dominant on drafting defense. I remember when the draft was in Kansas City, they only went offense on that Friday night. That was it. They went out and got Rashee Rice and Wandale Morris. That was it. That was all on offense. Do I think they can draft receivers? I do. Did they hit on Sky Moore? No, but that was the only dart they threw. Did they hit on Rashee Rice? Yeah, they did. There were several choices. Zay Flowers of the world, they settled on Rashee Rice. He finished number two in all receivers that were rookies in yards and catches his rookie year. Only Puka Nacua had more yards and catches than Rashee Rice. And that was the third, fifth-round selection of the Rams. So it's not exactly like they knew exactly what the hell they were doing when they got him. But the Chiefs hit the home run with Rashee Rice. Xavier Worthy turned out to be a really good draft pick for the Kansas City Chiefs. You threw that dart. You're not going to throw a dart and hit on everything. Nobody does. Nobody does. But I remember going into last year, 20 of the previous 21 picks were still on this team. That is unheard of in the NFL. And it's not like they were finishing last. No, they were winning the division nine straight times. They were going to the Super Bowl, the AFC title game. So these draft picks actually had to play. They actually used the draft to help them go forward. That's why I'm 100%. And I know people have been talking about, you know, limiting the quarterbacks and putting kind of a cap on what quarterbacks can make. I say hell no. Because the Chiefs have found a way to pay their quarterback, yet still win. You know how they do it? They do it through the front office. They do it through the draft. That's what I do. Josh Allen, he's been paid twice now by Buffalo. No rings. Lamar Jackson, keeps getting money and likes to trademark his number 8. No rings. Justin Herbert's been paid. No rings. Joe Burrow's been paid. Didn't even go to the playoffs. But the Chiefs have found a way to have their quarterback win a Super Bowl with the highest cap money ever spent on a quarterback in the modern era and still win because they go out with Najee Johnson, Jalen Watson in the 7th round, Isaiah Pacheco in the 7th round. And that's how they do it. That's why we went Joshua Farmer with pick 63, defensive tackle out of Florida State. Went that direction because went Luther Burden in the 1st round there. And did get a running back, pick 95, round 3. Tootin out of Virginia Tech, stud at 4.29, could help in the return game as well because the return is going to be pretty prevalent in the NFL this year because they're moving the touchbacks to the 35-yard line. So you'll see more teams decide to return the ball than be, you know, get the 30-yard line treat that they got with where they placed the ball. You'll see more returns in the NFL this year. But that's the direction I had them going as far as Chris and I had them going. Because they do need a running back. I know they're bringing back Kareem Hunt and all that. That's fine. You want them challenged. You want them pressed. You want the St. Joe Chiefs to have the best of the best. I know Juju came back. You don't want Juju getting the ball this year. Yeah, Juju was fine last year when he wasn't getting any attention. If you go back and watch the film on Juju when he made catches, it was when he was unguarded. Yes, he put up big games because they didn't care about him. They're like, oh, fine. You just go out and do what you got to do. But he wasn't covered. He wasn't getting the coverage, the sticky coverage he gets in the past. So bring in receivers and challenge him. Have this wide receiver room looking good so you can withstand a suspension of Rashee Rice. You can withstand an injury that's inevitably going to happen with your wide receivers. It just does. But that's why I'd go wide receiver if I'm the Chiefs.
I agree with wide receiver. I just want – so the text line says Jaden Higgins. That I know that Brett Veach hates Ohio State guys. Emmanuel Abuka. That's the type of physical wideout I want. Luther Burton's dynamic, but I see small speed slot receivers all over the Chiefs wide receiver room. Give me a little change of pace, but I'm with you. They got to get a wide receiver, maybe a second one in this draft, because I would like to see a guy like Juju maybe expendable after St. Joe because they have so many quality
bodies.
Well,
I'm going too. I understand the allure of Higgins. It's a 4.47 guy, but he's 6'4". I understand. Also, Jalen Noel's getting a ton of buzz. That's a former Park Hill guy that went to Iowa State as well. I understand the allure that Jack Besh, Alec Imanor from Stanford. I like that guy a lot, a ton. Isaiah Bond, he didn't run the 4.21 like he said he would at the combine, which I think is a joke. He should never proclaim to beat Xavier Worthy in a 40, which he didn't. He ran a 4.39. But then he had his pro day, which that's not slow, by the way. That's extremely fast. And then he ran a 4.35 at his pro day. Yeah, I'll be it. Guys didn't lack confidence, transfer from Alabama. But again, 4.35, that's nothing to sneeze. As a matter of fact, it's like that as far as running the 40-yard dash. So, but I'm with getting two. I am with throwing two darts. And you know what? Kyle Williams is the guy we selected as the second receiver for the Chiefs. I'm 100% for that. Again, if you can go throughout the season where Juju's kind of an afterthought, why the hell not do it? You know, Torrey Horton that sits out there, a little bit slender, but he's got the height, played at Colorado State. Nick Nash, big-time year at San Jose State. Kyle Williams, again, 6-footer, 186. I know Rob's kind of got – he's not that 6'4 guy you want. I know Dante Thornton out of Tennessee's got that big 6'5 build that you want because they don't have that. Like, that'd be nice to have, that extra red zone threat that you could have for the Chiefs at wide receiver, but – to me, it's about taking two wide receivers. I think having Kelce come back helps the tight end because I do like the tight ends in this draft. I think it's top heavy like last year. Like, where's Brock Bowers? I mean, that dude, we called him last year. That's the next Kelce right there. Brock Bowers is a stud. Tyler Warren, to me, is that stud in this year's draft class. You're not going to get him. So that did help that the Chiefs can look around at other positions, the fact that he's coming back. And you're getting Wiley back, and that should be good. He should get a tight end, though, in mid-rounds, especially one that can block. That's for sure. Did you miss Ja'Marr Chase? He said something very similar to what a Chiefs quarterback said, and this town's never forgiven him. How come the people of Cincinnati give Ja'Marr Chase a free pass? We'll discuss that next.
Hey, it's MJ Melendez from the Kansas City Royals. You're listening to The Drive with CDOT on 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Welcome back to The Drive. Jay Binkley, Rob Britton, C-Dot. Back with you tomorrow. Hey, Rob, do you know what yesterday was? What we celebrated yesterday? It was a big deal.
It was National Beer Day, wasn't it?
Thank you. Thank you. And it was Beer Eve on Sunday. You say, well, why is it New Beer Eve? Well, Prohibition, right? You get to celebrate having beer again because for 13 years you couldn't. So 1933, we could have beer again. Did you celebrate beer? I know that you just went back on one of your little trips you went on. Did you celebrate Beer Day?
I didn't know it was Beer Day, but I definitely had beers on my trip. And I'm heading out to the K tonight, so I'll probably have a beer or
good,
two. So
good.
I will be celebrating in spirit. I didn't know it was a holiday, so I didn't fully partake.
Well, you were gone for a couple days. I did see on Facebook, weren't you drinking wine?
I
think there was pictures of you and wine.
There was. I had some wine. I had some whiskey. I had some beers. I was mixing and matching all weekend long.
So just a big, let's go drink weekend.
Little 4-day vacation type vibe. Yeah.
I love it. Love it. Well, it's today Tuesday. Is that the day it is today?
Today's Tuesday.
Taco Tuesday. So find a Taco Tuesday, right?
Dollar Dogs at the ballpark tonight.
That's right. Dollar Dogs at the ballpark. Do you like ballpark hot dogs?
Of course.
I do too. Vern, I don't think Vern's had many since the hot dog incident. You aware of what that was?
You've referenced it before. So.
He dropped the hot dog on his slacks and it left an outline with that grease. So he was carrying like, he had to go like talk to Ned or something after the game. So he tried to conceal it, but it was a hot dog incident. That's what it will forever be known for at the K. But they have like fancy hot dogs out there now, don't they?
They got a lot of fancy food out there now.
Yeah. The Joe's Kansas City, by the way, the Z-Man, that thing is making it everywhere. MLB Network was talking about it. The Cleveland broadcasters sampled it as well. But that people are diving in to the food in Kansas City. Because you know what? The food in Kansas City does not suck. And this is a great food city. Rob, if I know the Masters is coming up, the Masters dinner. You know, the previous champion gets to pick what they're going to have. Scotty Scheffler won it last year. He's getting like Texas chili on the menu, some sliders. It looks really good. But you're telling me at the Masters, I know you guys are going to talk to Masters going forward because clearly we're actually having a Masters party because it's going to be fun. Club sandwiches, the whole deal, pimento cheese sandwiches, you name it. But wouldn't you have barbecue at your Masters champion dinner? I'm talking burn-ins from one place, beans from another. It'd be like an all-star-a-palooza with Kansas City food for everybody to sample.
So, yeah, but I don't know if you can bring it in. I think you just tell them what you want them to cook, and they cook that food. Like, I don't think Scotty Scheffler's food this weekend is, I want Texas chili from blank.
Well,
I didn't think he's just telling them I want Texas chili, and they prepare it the way he likes it. So, yes.
If you're the Masters champion, whatever the hell you want. That's my opinion.
I think they have, like, top-flight chefs over at Augusta, and you're telling them, here's kind of how I want it done.
Well, that's what I would want done. I love the price. By the way, their prices are awesome. There's something about Georgia that has nice price. Even the Falcons, like their menu, they have like discounted menu and all the items you buy. But you get it, it's like $3 for a club sandwich, like $1.50 for minnow and cheese. Beers, $5. I think imported beers, like $6. Yeah, you pay a lot to get in. And I know that yesterday people went out for the practice rounds, which I've been there before on that. I can't afford going to the regular thing, but the practice rounds you can go to, but it was suspended for weather, but it'd be an all-star type event. The reason I bring this up, do you remember Ja'Marr Chase when he signed, when the Bengals stupidly gave him and T. Higgins a contract? I have no problem with Ja'Marr Chase getting money. He's the Triple Crown winner. He is a game changer. I've got a problem with them paying T. Higgins as well as Ja'Marr Chase because with the Trey Hendrickson out there, and I get it, he's still under contract, but he's not happy. I pay that guy. If your defense is that bad, I pay that guy. But I don't know if you remember Ja'Marr Chase saying this at his press conference when he signed that big contract, but when he did, like, I was shocked that I haven't heard more backlash from Cincinnati people.
So, I mean, at the end of the day, the food's not the best. We could work on that, but
chilly,
I'm from New Orleans. I'm not used to the food yet.
So clearly he's from New Orleans. Yes, New Orleans food is good. I actually don't have a problem with Cincinnati food. I actually like Skyline Chili. I know it's an unpopular take and people hate it, but I don't care. I actually like it. But you don't criticize their food. Here's the thing. Do you guys remember? You got to be a certain age, I think, in Kansas City to remember Steve Bono the former Chiefs quarterback, who famously or infamously said, the worst restaurant in San Francisco is better than the best restaurant in Kansas City. In a small way, I feel like we won the World Series. No, people in Kansas City never forgot that when Bono said that about Kansas City food. I know the chefs and the restaurants didn't forgive that at all. But there's Ja'Marr Chase. There's the stupid media laugh. As soon as he says, ah, ha, 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 you're so funny, Ja'Marr Chase. Ah, our food sucks. Now, if they pay you all that money, you know what you say? I love our chili. I love our food. I love Cincinnati. If they pay you that kind of cash, you know what you say? Yes, yes, this is what I take. You know what's interesting? I was looking at this deal. You know, Ja'Marr Chase is making more money than any receiver in the league. Matt Verderam, I know you guys have had him on. He did top positional players paid. You know the Chiefs have three on the list? This is why the Chiefs can't pay everybody. Humphrey makes more than any center. Trey Smith will soon make more than every other guard. He'll be number one there. They'll have four. Harrison Butker makes more money. Chris Jones makes more money than any defensive tackle. Kelsey was on there per average for what he makes, but obviously the McBride contract goes over that. But you don't criticize the food. And I know the media in this town loves food questions. Matter of fact, it's the first question players get. I'm sure the PR staffs talk to the players. Hey, they're going to ask about the barbecue. Don't tell them which one you like the best. You say they're all good. Which, to be honest with you, that's the best way to do it. Because if you're going to get free barbecue, which they do, you don't want to alienate one barbecue restaurant over another. That is a bad way to do business. You don't do it. You say they're all great. Which they are. I mean, I've heard people debate Kansas City barbecue all the time. People say this spot's the best. Yeah. No, they're all good for something. I mean, the ribs are clearly better in some places, but you know what? It's not bad. Anywhere you go, it's not bad. The beans may be better at one place than the other. I think doing the all-star is the way to do it. You do like an all-star meal for Thanksgiving or Christmas or whatever, and you send your friends or family out and you get different plates, maybe the burn-ins, the ribs from one place, the beans from another, and you make an all-star platter because the food here in this town is really good. This is a good food city, but when Bono said that, Chiefs fans didn't forgive him. Like, that was a hard thing to get over, but yet Ja'Marr Chase says whatever he wants about Cincinnati, and they all knee slap and laugh at it. I was shocked there wasn't more pushback because of this. I mean, this was a long time ago that Bono said this. What, 30 years ago? He said this. It was a Sports Illustrated article about Bono in the worst restaurant in San Francisco is better than the best in Kansas City. First of all, it's a blatant lie. You don't downgrade the Kansas City food scene whatsoever. Everybody's got their favorite. Rob, if I asked 10 people what their favorite barbecue restaurant is, it'd be 10 different answers. And you know what? I'm okay with that because everybody's got their certain taste that they like. Maybe they're big Joe's fans. Maybe they're big Jack Stack. Maybe Smokehouse. Maybe Bar Barbecue. Whatever. They're all good. Even those hole in the walls are the best places in Kansas City for barbecue. I digress. But it is good stuff. But I was shocked when Ja'Marr Chase said that. Coming up next, the Final Four, we can put that bad boy to bed now that that's over. And here, Danny Parkins had an interesting, former friend Danny Parkins had an interesting comment about the Final Four finale last night.